Attention all campers.
Keith Murphy.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career.
Andy Fails.
I'm telling you straight, it's my way or the highway.
I'm not talking about dance lessons.
We're talking about unchecked aggression here.
I'm talking about putting a brick through the other guy's windshield.
I'm talking about drawing a line in the sand, dude.
I'm talking about taking it out and chopping it up.
Talking more than sports. Weekdays at 2.
Is this a... what day is this?
On 1460.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crap thunder.
KXNO.
Oh, yeah, it's the Murph and Andy Show on a cold Friday. It feels like fallout. Maybe some of you would even say winter. Keith Murphy, Andy Fails, and Andrew Downs, currently 38 degrees in Des Moines, and it feels like 26. Feels like temperatures, 26 right now.
You love the feels temperature.
I don't care what it says. I care how it feels.
The wind chill. You love that.
Oh, yeah, the wind keeps knocking over stuff on our decks.
If you're having trash day today... you're having a bad day.
Our
those
garbage
can
was blown over.
All over the place.
Yeah, just all of that's going on. Yeah, it's windy out there for sure. And we got some snow flurry. Very hard to see, but when I first went out in the driveway today, you could see
there was some
thin
flurrying going on.
Disappeared as it hit the window of the car, that kind of thing.
Got
but
some of that out
it's
there.
Cold. If you're an Iowa State fan, you want this. It's
you
like,
do.
Bring
you,
it on.
You want it. You want TCU to be so uncomfortable. And there's been kind of a viral photo out there today, right, of the TCU bus pulling up in Ames with snowflakes falling in front of the bus.
I'm supposed to be tapped into the viral photos, and I haven't seen this yet.
But that's what you want. You want them rolling in there and being like, oh, damn.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to even get off this bus.
24 and a half hours from kickoff of one of the most significant home games in Iowa State football history. Number 4, TCU, at number 25, Iowa State. Here's Matt Campbell and Gary Patterson, the head coaches, on the big game in Ames.
The biggest thing about TCU is speed. Offensively, defensively, special teams, it's all about their ability to really run. Great challenge for us, great football team, and excited about it.
Iowa State, good football team. Tough place to play, no matter what kind of football team Ames is, so you have to get ready to go. I mean, everybody knows about Lazard, but they got two or three guys that can go. And they got a running back that's hard to bring down, really physical up front. They're doing things to do and playing great on defense.
That's Gary Patterson in the conversation of the most underrated coaches in America simply because he has chosen to stay at TCU. He certainly could have left. He's well paid. He makes more than $4 million a season. He's got a nice stadium. He's got a good thing going. He's got a team that can compete for the college football playoff. He's proven that. He seemingly is not going anywhere. Whatever's going on for him in that Fort Worth area, he likes it.
Yeah, he's one of those coaches. If you're an Iowa State fan and you want to believe that you could keep a good coach here, he's the kind of guy that you point to. And you say, Gary Patterson has stayed at TCU. It's in Dallas-Fort Worth. I mean, it's the metropolitan, huge metropolitan area, and certainly in the hotbed of football recruiting.
Right. It's not Iowa.
It's it is overshadowed by a bunch of other schools in its state. It is hardly first fiddle, really, anywhere around there. Smaller school. He would have a better opportunity to win national championships elsewhere. They could say that. But he has found his niche. He's happy, and he's staying.
Yeah, he has proven that he can get them on the cusp of the college football playoff, and there are some people who think TCU should have already been in the college football playoff. Checking the lines, AD, you've probably kept up with this, and I don't mean the offensive or defensive lines or the lines on all of the endless construction around Des Moines. I mean the college football lines for the game, the odds in Las Vegas. This usually goes up and down a little bit. For the most part, been holding steady with Iowa State, TCU, and Iowa, Minnesota. What's the latest today?
Yeah, 6.5. TCU's favorite, so that's where it opens. So pretty much held steady all week long up till now.
Interesting number, 6.5. So yeah, you have to commit one way or the other to the, whether it's a touchdown game. We have a Quiggy poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas across the Murph and Andy Show platforms on this game, which is Jamie Pollard told us the other day. In his opinion, this is no referendum on the Iowa State football program or in general or the season specifically. It's one game. So how do you feel about that?
How much would a loss to TCU hurt your enthusiasm for the Iowa State season? Not at all, only a little, a lot, or go Hawks?
if you can honestly get that answer from some, that helps the poll a little bit. Only a little for me. TCU is really good. It's a top five team. To expect Iowa State to beat two top five teams in the same season when prior to the season they'd beaten one in more than 100 years, it's asking a lot.
I am between a lot and depends on the game. I think I'm going with depends on the game. But just think about where you are right now. Okay, my enthusiasm is picking up speed, rolling downhill, becoming something really significant right now. It is.
Okay, you got to go with a lot then because AD pulled the depends on the game because we need four choices.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I figured that depends on the game.
All right, I'm
goes
going
without
with a lot.
Saying, right? Like, I mean, well, if they get blown out, it hurts it. If they win, if they lose on a last second field goal, it doesn't change it much. So I figured a lot of people would vote on that. I'm going to make you make a tough choice.
Make a tougher choice.
A little, not at all.
I'm not prepared. I wrote this. I already had my answer all picked out, as you can tell. I didn't even listen. All right, a lot. A lot meaning I'm not going to be crushed if they lose. I'm not even going to be all that surprised. But if they win, I'm cloud nine.
Yeah, it is different. It's totally different. Next week is off the chain for Cyclone fans.
Everything is in play.
Yeah,
if they win, everything is in play.
Yeah, that you're making a good argument
here.
It
is the biggest win at home. I think it's the biggest win at home in Cyclone history if they win.
It's less surprising than some of them, but I agree because of the stuff that's still in play.
The Oklahoma
in the Big
State
12,
game, that's
bigger.
That's not close. That was the end of the season. That didn't matter.
Bigger surprise. No one saw it coming. But
everything is in play.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I agree.
If they win, I'm cloud nine. If they lose, I'm not bottom of the basement. I'm not, but I'm way down from where I would be. The difference that a win would make is huge.
Yeah, you just changed my vote because I hadn't looked at it at
it's
it
a good
as
point.
If they win, how well I feel compared to if they lose. And you're exactly right. If they win, they're going to be top 20 next week. They're going to be favored to win several games from here on out. Everything is on the table. Big 12 championship game, all
right.
Those kind of things.
There's nothing embarrassing. It is not a referendum on the football program
or
the season. It's none of those things. But, Andy, you are right when you say this. Just picture in your mind the difference between what it feels like on this show and elsewhere if Iowa State wins this game versus Iowa State losing this game.
Well, we can only imagine.
Yeah.
We haven't had anything like this to compare it. It is like having a great big fish on the line right now. You have a big fish on the line. You land that sucker, get that picture, it changes your life, right? I mean, you lose it, you keep on fishing, you're okay. But, man, the potential here.
Randy, you have a thought here at 284-5966, 284-KXNO. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, first of all, I really hope they do win, and I'm not an Iowa State fan, but do you think sometimes it matters on how big of an underdog is? I mean, when you don't think you have any chance of winning and you're playing a ranked team, you figure, well, we got nothing to lose. We're just going to go all out. Nobody believes us, you know, all those cliches. But as compared to a team that, okay, we know they've got some talent, but you're seriously outmatched. Is your psyche difference going into the game?
Well, thank you, Randy, for the question. I think an example of really no one thinking there was any chance, as much as any game I can ever remember, would be Iowa State at Oklahoma this season, right after Jacob Park was declared out of commission or inactive.
Yeah, inactive.
So
that's a really good example, but what about all of the other examples of the times that Iowa State played Oklahoma before that and were gigantic underdogs and they didn't have anything to lose in those seasons either, but they didn't even come close to winning. I think it's a little different. They have the talent this year and the coaching to achieve something like that, where in the past maybe they haven't. And I do think that they were playing like they had nothing to lose.
House money.
Yeah. I mean, they did. There were no expectations on them, and everybody went out there and just played as hard as they could. Now, they're still underdogs in this game.
Yep, 6.5 points.
They're expected to lose this game.
Yep. Storm is with us. Storm, what do you think?
Guys, it's just like I was saying. Walking in, I was looking at 6-6 bowl game. I want the win. I mean, who doesn't? But being realistic here, we don't need the win because that's not where the expectation level was. I think it's important to keep all things in perspective. A 7-5 season is nothing to hang your head on.
Oh, not at all.
With a bowl game, nothing to hang your head on.
No.
No, not at all. And Storm, you know, keeping things in perspective, yes, if we go to this is a sports concern versus, you know, people in Puerto Rico right now, I mean, yeah, we always have to keep relative perspective. But I also said 6-6 going into the season, which seemed overly optimistic. I think I probably was overdoing it a little bit. But right now, if they finish 6-6, if they go 1-4 these final five games, you tell me that wouldn't be disappointing to you? I mean, our expectations change as we see the product, right?
Of course. But, like, you know, it's just like with anything else in life. You can't walk in and just expect it. You got to earn it. And I feel like these guys have the ability to go out and earn these wins.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to keep earning these wins. They're not gifted by any means, and we know that.
Well, we do know that. Yep, you're right. So
hopefully we're looking at 8-4+, but, you know, let's just watch the game on Saturday, take what it is. We win, we win, we lose, go on to next week, and let's chase that win.
Thank you, Storm. I was thinking about something, Andy, because we're in a fortunate position of having a lot of friends and coworkers who are Cyclone fans and a lot of friends and coworkers who are Hawkeye fans. I mean, we get a large sample size, and I can feel amongst some of my Hawkeye friends, not all, but some of them, how much they hate all this attention for Iowa State and the positive attention. I was trying to think, why does it feel different to me right now? And I realize what it is Iowa football has just really never been in the position, as long as I can remember, going back three decades, where Iowa State had, despite the fact Iowa beat Iowa State, because let's not forget that, but Iowa State has what looks like the better football team right now. And that's just not a position Hawkeye fans have been in.
Like, it's been a while.
Even if you go back to 2002, which is the last time, the first half of that season, I thought, this is a top 20 Iowa State football team. This team is good. But Iowa had a better season, and Iowa had a better team, and kind of
they
a
had a crossing point that season where it looked like Iowa was better than Iowa State.
And like a mirror of this season, the irony is that Iowa State won. The head-to-head
Iowa was getting better, and Iowa State was getting worse, and now it's vice versa.
Yeah. So even though it seems clear right now that Iowa State is playing better football and has a better team, Iowa did win at Iowa State, yet there are many Hawkeye fans, right, AD? You're just, I don't mean you in particular, but you can just feel it, just not used to Iowa State having the talk during the week and Iowa State getting more of the attention and Iowa State being the top 25 team and Iowa not being there. All these other times we've had an occasional decent Iowa State season, Iowa has been to an even better bowl game.
And I think the biggest thing is that it's not just like the local media who is seeing it. Because I think there have been times in the last 15 years where in a given week, the Iowa State storyline is the bigger story than the Iowa storyline for whatever reason. But now it's, Iowa State is the team that's ranked, and Iowa's the team losing to Northwestern. Iowa State is the team that Kirk Herbstreit is tweeting about. We, you know, even if Cyclone fans don't like that, they're relevant. They, you know, they're the fan base that's upset about the national media's perception of them. They're the fan base who's, you know, the coach of the top five team is saying, hey, man, we got to take this seriously. That's a tough game coming up. So I think you're exactly right. It's an unfamiliar position for Hawkeye fans to be in, and as the quote-unquote big brother, they don't like it.
There are many Hawkeye fans, again, not all, who are quietly rooting their hearts out for TCU this weekend. They're tired of
hearing about it. And many who aren't so quiet.
And some who aren't so quiet, yes. And some who legitimately like it when both schools do well. But I don't know a lot of those people.
I don't understand why there aren't more of them. I probably will die not understanding that.
Rivals. Rivalry.
I know.
Did you root for the Cubs in the World Series last year?
No, but that's not the same state.
It should be. The Des Moines affiliates right here, AAA.
No. I mean, but it would be like me rooting for the Royals. You know, once a year, the Cardinals and Royals play.
Right. But they're not bitter rivals.
No, but they have fans that live amongst each other and bicker over it. But I could say that the Royals are probably my second favorite team. Okay. And I think that Hawkeye fans ought to say that Iowa State is their second favorite team. I just do. They should.
They won't.
They're just no threat to them. they really haven't been, at least not in football. In basketball, they certainly are, but not so much football.
Here's your man, Ned. He agrees with you. Ned, you like both teams?
You know, I'm a fan of Iowa college sports. I went to my first Cyclone game with a guy by the name of Tommy Vaughn played in the 60s. I saw George Amundsen play against Nebraska. I had my first Hawkeye season tickets when Bob Cummings went 0-11. So I've been to both sides on both, and I just love to sit back and watch both sides pick at each other.
Oh, there's a lot of that, isn't there? We really stir it up sometimes.
Why is that?
Boy, rivals, rivalries. They, as you said, thank you for the question, Ned. They live amongst each other. They go to work together. They hang out together, and that's what rivals do. You pick at each other. You try to get the upper hand, right?
You do. These are schools, though. I mean, if your kid goes to school at one college, then I think you ought to support that college. You know, if you got kids that go to both of them, I think you should support them both. Well, I mean, these are college teams, not pro teams.
We're living that right now because Jenny graduated from Iowa State, but we've got kids at Iowa, so
they ought to be able to root for everybody. I'm sure Jenny does that.
She does. It was not easy at first, I'll tell you. Randy, welcome to the Murph and Andy Show.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, hey, great. Well, I had just turned on the show and listening to the conversation, and I thought I would chime in and let you guys know that I'm a Iowa graduate, longtime Hawkeye fan, and there was a time when I rooted for Iowa State football to lose. But I've grown up over the years, and even though I probably won't go back to a Jack Trice Stadium game, I still root for Iowa State, you know. So I'm one of those converted Hawkeye fans who used to not like the Cyclones, but, you know, I've converted, and I think people can change over time to support both schools either way, and I think they should.
Thank you, Randy. Randy agreeing with Andy's point. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I'm kind of feeling the opposite way. I don't mind it now. In fact, I think it's pretty cool what they're doing, and I think they certainly deserve the attention, me being a Hawks fan. What I don't like it is when they're 2-10 and you have to divide your time evenly on KXNO, and I have to listen to how they manage to lose another one. So for me, this is a breath of fresh air. I'm pretty happy about it, actually.
See, I don't think that we do that. I think when they're 2-10, I think the Cyclone talk dies way down.
Yeah, because
it's hard to talk about something that's 2-10.
An example like last.
We still will have Tommy Burch in. He'll talk to us week to week, but the conversation just doesn't. Maintain itself. You know, I mean, it's like you gotta push it along with training wheels the whole time, and then you let go of the bike and it just stops, right? I mean, right now the conversation is just rolling on whether we facilitate it or not.
That's a great thing, too. The only thing that can change it, as you know, Andy, is a potential coaching change. If a coach is about to get fired, then that can become the topic as the season goes along.
Yeah, the off-season talk, hot stove kind of talk, yeah.
Sunday night on Sound Off, you know, from all your years sitting there, we looked down at the monitor of all the calls, and they were all Cyclone calls Sunday night. The Hawkeye fans didn't want to talk about that game at Northwestern. They didn't.
And we've spent more time talking about Iowa State this week than we have Iowa. It's just the natural order of things.
Steve, welcome to the Murph and Andy Show.
Hey, as I was saying to
Ed. I'm a Iowa fan, been an Iowa fan my whole life, and I'm an Iowa State student right now. Wear my Hawkeye stuff proud every almost every day, and then went to Iowa State games growing up, but always been a Hawkeye fan. But I kind of root for both teams, but more and more now, as with social media, you start to get that divide between both teams and stuff, and just starting to not be a fan of Iowa State fans, more or less.
Why don't you go to a different school?
I'm an ag student, looking for an ag career, and
picked a good school
reluctantly.
Yeah, geez, just in hell there. Well, that's too bad, man. I'm really sad for you. It seems like you could have a lot more fun at college if you just root for the team that your school represents.
Yeah, hang in there, Steve. Yeah, that always fascinates me.
You go to school there.
Once you go to
school, dance with who brung you.
Yeah, that. Jeez. Chris Williams.
Yeah, but like, I would not have become a Cyclone fan had I gone to Iowa State.
You really?
No, you might
think
have.
That?
I bet you might have.
There's a chance. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but like, I have a visceral reaction to being a Hawkeye fan. It's not like my fandom of other things. Like, I can't divorce myself from my Hawkeye fandom.
Yeah, but if you go to school. We've had this conversation 150,000 times.
I've watched
if
Iowa
you go
sports,
to school there, you're part of that, though. You're not part of Iowa. You are not part of the University of Iowa if you don't go there.
That's such a bad take, I think, that you have to go to school there to be a fan of
it. I'm not saying you have to, but when you go to the other school, you are part of that.
You're right about that.
And you are not part of the other one. Because that's a school team.
But if you grew up as a fan of the Hawkeyes your entire life, you watch games with your dad, you wear the gear, you go to the games, it's in your blood. You really do feel like you bleed black and gold. You're a part of that. Just because you didn't go to school there doesn't mean you're not a part of it.
When you go to the other school, though, you are a part of that. The other one's just a feeling. When you really do go to school there, you really are part of that. You're paying your money there.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you have to change your allegiances. There's nothing that can make me not a
Hawkeye fan.
Oh, yes,
it does. It means you have to.
And so, to his social media point that the caller made, that is almost like a... It's almost like a virus right now, because that is such a small percentage of fans, but it starts to feel like they're representing everybody. Like that.
You mean the fans, the Hawkeye fan that goes to Iowa State?
No, I'm sorry. You start to think of Hawkeye fans as the loud, sometimes trolling fans you see on social media, and you start to see the Cyclone fans as the loud, sometimes trolling fans on social media. And that's just such a small percentage.
Because you see the negative.
Yeah. That's what you notice. That's what jumps out at you. All right, a couple more calls. See what you started here, Andy. Tony. What's up, Tony?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing
well. Hey,
Tony. I'm a Hawkeye fan all my life, but I always, once that game is over, and when they play Iowa State, I root for the Hawks, no doubt. But once that game's over, even for football and basketball, I root for the Cyclones to do well all throughout the rest of the time. I mean, a lot of those kids are Iowa kids, especially like Joel Lanning. He's an Aggie grad, and you want to see those people do well. And my brother's actually going up to the game this weekend, and we're all Hawkeye fans, but we got tickets to go up and watch the Iowa State, take his kids and go up and watch the Iowa State TCU game.
Thank you, Tony. A little bit of a bad connection there. We'll jump to Andy. Caller Andy, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great.
Hey.
Hey, I am going to offer the solution to Andrew's question there, because I was the Hawkeye fan that went to Iowa State, and it was in the middle of the 15-year drought, and Hawkeye fan made it impossible to pull for both teams when we were going through that. And it took me about 15 minutes in Ames to switch my allegiance from Hawks to Cyclones.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate your sharing that with us. Cody?
Yes. I was kind of curious, being a longtime Iowa fan, I've always kind of wondered what you guys thought. If Iowa and Iowa State ever...
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Leave us hanging off the cliff there.
Yeah, that's a cliffhanger. We're going to have to get off this subject because we have to move on here, but we'll take a couple more quick thoughts from each of you. Nick, go ahead. Your main point, please.
Yeah, just to follow up on what Andrew was talking about. Actually,
I went to Iowa State and was not really a Cyclone fan when I went there, and going there definitely, I know, made me a diehard fan. Had I not gone to Iowa State, I know I wouldn't have become an Iowa State fan. So like what Andy was saying, I agree with him that going there and experiencing it and having it be my school, I have become a fan diehard through and through. And if I went to Iowa, I'm sure I would have been an Iowa fan as well, or any school I went to.
Yeah, dilly dilly.
All right, thank you, Nick. Gus, go ahead.
I just want to say, Andy, if you're part of the place you go, shouldn't you be a Cubs fan now?
Nope. Not at all. But we live in Iowa. I don't live in Illinois. This is totally different. The radio station I work at, we carry Cardinals baseball here, not Cubs baseball. That's my employer. Cardinals games, every single one of them are on TV here on Fox Sports Midwest. None of the Cubs games are.
AAA affiliate.
Right here. Doesn't matter. It's totally different.
I don't know.
It's the Cardinal fans all over this state. Cardinal games carried everywhere. Cardinals come here for autograph sessions. And this ain't Illinois, it's Iowa.
So then everybody should be a Yankees fan?
What?
I lost me there. I don't understand that. We're not in New York. Man, I don't know. Matt,
there's a Cardinals affiliate in Iowa, too.
Maybe Quad Cities. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Big fan. I listen to you every day on iHeartRadio down here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Bless your traveling heart.
Yeah. Hey, my take on this is, you know, I totally disagree. I went to South Dakota State University. I'm a diehard Hawkeye fan, and I chose my school based on the engineering school. I was really looking in toward Iowa State and just didn't go there, but if I would have went there, I still wouldn't have been an Iowa State fan. Now, having said that, I do support them every day of the year other than when they play us, but I do support them.
Who's us? Who's us? I'm all confused.
I'm going to be a fan of theirs.
Who's us?
I'm sorry?
Who is us?
The Hawkeyes.
So you're with the Hawkeyes, but you went to South Dakota State?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm confused here. I'm going to say, I don't think you have to go to that school and necessarily support their sports team.
I don't get that. I don't get it.
I went to a Division II school, and it's just a whole different world, too, than Division I. Like, I get how you could go to South Dakota State and still support a D1 team.
But if you go to Iowa State, you're just missing out on...
Mark, you're going to have the last word on this, because we are late to break, so Mark, enjoy it.
Yeah, hey, Arkansas Mark, you're just born and raised in Arkansas. So bleed Arkansas Razorback red all the time. But coming up here, my father-in-law, brother-in-law, and wife are big Hawkeye fans. So I said, why not just change for the Cyclones? And I really became, I guess you would say, a Hawkeye hater about 2 or 3 years ago, whatever. And they started that 10-0 stretch, and then they went that 12-0. Well, it doesn't help when you play little Burger King University and Jiffy Lube Academy schools at the beginning of the year. Pick a top five conference team, and then I might even look your direction. Still not cheer for you, but still look in your direction.
Thank you, Mark.
Dilly dilly.
We'll have a 3-point play when we return. 284-5966, 284-5966, and more. That's next.
For three. He'll fire another long three. Good again! For three more. Yes!
Take a shot at the 3-point play.
3-point play brought to you by Cryo Vitality and Clive and Ankeny. Reduce pain in your joints, tendons, and muscles. Increase your overall mood with whole body cryotherapy. And you did that today, right?
I did. I did do some cryotherapy, and we're putting that on the website so you can see a little bit about how that looks.
I need to check that out.
You can hear Dr. Hassel. It still sounds funny.
Dr. Vince.
I was like, you got to talk really fast because we have to do this in under 90 seconds. So he's talking like a carnival barker.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Taylor, can you name this sports voice?
This is why you play in the Big Ten. And this is why you coach in the Big Ten. This is why you come to the University of Minnesota to play in all these historic rivalries. It's very important.
Taylor.
PJ Fleck.
It is PJ Fleck. Row that boat. Name this band. Dave Matthews Band is right. You're one away. Name this movie.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Taylor.
Office Space.
You win.
That's it, Taylor.
Way to go.
Good job, Taylor.
Joined now by Jason Garnett from Juniper Moon. just a nice conversation bar. What do you call it there? Conversation?
It was originally branded as a conversation lounge.
Conversation.
Unless that sounds boring to you.
No,
which it kind of does
perfect.
To me.
No, I actually like that because it tells me I can go in there and actually talk to my friends.
You can do that.
I like that.
I love the word lounge.
Yeah, I love the word conversation.
It makes me feel like I can go to sleep.
What do you have for us today before we drop some more over your mixing?
I figured it was a perfect day for a hot toddy.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I'm going to warm up your
This is a perfect choice.
Got a little hot water kettle over there.
Got a little hot water.
So what goes into your version at Juniper Moon
this one
of
is
a hot
called,
toddy?
This one is called Todd Hottie, who may or may not work at Juniper Moon.
Is he a good-looking guy?
Well, he thinks so.
Okay.
And this is going to be High Rest, High West Double Rye Whiskey, which you can get at Central City. And it's delicious. Right around $30-ish, probably retail, and it is amazing.
Had it, like it.
And then we have St. George Spiced Pear Liqueur. We're going to do a little lemon, a little honey, hot water, and then garnish with some nutmeg on top.
And this is available at Juniper Moon and go in out of the cold. It feels like less than 30 degrees today. Go in there and say, give me the Todd Hottie.
Give me the Todd Hottie or whatever version of a hot toddy you want us to make, and we'll do it.
Now, is there any chance if you order that Todd walks up and goes, here I am?
It's a strong likelihood, actually.
Okay, all right, good. Good, he'll enjoy you saying that. All right, so Jason's going to mix that up and chime in here as we get some more.
It's time now for more, brought to you by Lithia Volkswagen of Des Moines. This is General Manager Tim Bowes, and I can assure you no dealer in Central Iowa gives you more than Lithia Volkswagen. For now, back to Murph and Andy.
Let's get a little more here. So Catalonia has declared independence from Spain. Big problems going on over in Spain there. It's in direct defiance of the government in Madrid.
Madrid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In Madrid.
Yeah, these aren't the Tigers.
Yeah, we almost sent some reporters up to Madrid today.
Shout out to Madrid's superintendent who listens to the show and mentioned something to my wife yesterday.
Oh, nice. Good shout out there. Yeah, I went to a Mid-American Energy deal with Jenny yesterday, and it was so nice. I had like nearly had a receiving line of people who listened to the show. It was wonderful.
I like that.
Yeah, it was very good.
That's good.
I was going to say, although I was humbled. I wasn't humbled.
You weren't.
At all.
Yeah, it makes you
reinforce my ego.
Yeah,
I was like, God, this is great.
Giant melon.
Forget about humble.
This is
fantastic.
The iPhone X orders are officially delayed now. Orders are about 5 weeks out in the UK and Hong Kong, where the phones go on sale just before here in the United States. So U.S. delays likely as well.
Our boy AJ over at the University of Iowa got his last night.
Wow. How did he do that?
Well, let me look that up for you.
maybe you weren't supposed to talk about that.
Well, yeah. Let me see. Okay. It was $1,308. That's his money.
I thought it was like $1,000.
Well, this is what he spent.
$1,200.
Let me see. He got it at... had to wait till 2 a.m. to get it. It sold out in 5 minutes. Paid $1,308 for it. Now that's from his lawn service. That's something he would choose to spend his money on. That's crazy.
Wow, that is crazy money. Does look cool though. Looks very, very cool.
I'm gonna try to get it.
A bidder agreed to pay $17.8 million on Thursday, yesterday, for a Rolex Daytona that that used to belong to Paul Newman, setting a new world record for a wristwatch sold at an auction. According to New York auction house Phillips, now this Rolex was originally given to Paul Newman by his wife Joanne Woodward around the time he was filming the auto racing movie Winning in the late 60s.
Oh.
Yeah, his use of it sparked a craze among watch fans who lent his name to that particular style of Rolex dial. So the original fetched $17.8 million, which is just a little bit more expensive than a Rolex in a regular store. Doping has come to dog sled racing. Have you guys seen this story? How this is the gutter.
I feel like it's happened before.
These guys are, yeah, well, I mean, the people dope their horses and stuff. Oh, there's that hot toddy.
Todd Hottie. Todd Hottie. Is that H-O-T-T-I-E?
Oh.
Yeah, T-O-D, 1-D.
1-D.
Is enough. And Hottie.
That's good stuff. Whew, that's good stuff on a cold day.
Hang on. You know, I can check the wind chill for you if you want.
Makes you feel like you got a steam furnace blowing through you.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, if there's a way to take this to a football game and keep it hot.
It's like actually warm, and because of the alcohol, it warms you up, too. Phew.
Jason's an artist.
Alaska's Iditarod Race Committee has identified four-time champion Dallas Seavey as a musher whose dogs tested positive for a banned opioid pain reliever in this year's race. Seavey is denying the charge, of course, and he's withdrawn from the 2018 dog sled race in protest. Probably would have been kicked out of that race.
Protest. Yeah, I love that.
You don't want me? I don't want you. Now give me my ball. I'm going home.
Rick Pitino has decided not to coach college basketball for a few years in protest.
In protest, yes. Man, come on. Dog doping?
Four dogs from a single team in last year's Iditarod had tested positive for the drug Tramadol, which is a major painkiller. My dog, I gave my dog who was suffering from bone cancer Tramadol.
Mm.
Massive painkillers. So if they need this to get through the Iditarod, they shouldn't be dog racing.
Do you think they had to ball it up in some peanut butter to get him to take it? That's probably how he got Tramadol. Caught. He didn't get caught with the Tramadol. He got caught with the giant jar of peanut butter.
You want an opioid? You want an opioid? Sit down. Good boy. Good boy. Who's a musher?
Andrew back
who's
at...
Who's a good musher? Who's a good musher?
That's how I have get to feed Tramadol. Andrew opioids back at the bar. I have to put him in little balls of peanut butter.
Oh. Hey, just generally, which drink, as a bartender there at Juniper Moon, which drink generally do you find takes people from 0 to 60 the fastest? And you, I mean, you just see, boy.
Maybe this one.
I think old fashions, because they go down really easy. Okay. People that usually order an old fashioned really like them, and I think ours are exceptional, and so they go down really easy. And
they are exceptional.
After two or three, we're looking up Uber on their phone.
Or the classic Long Island iced tea, one that's just booze. We doesn't have all the mixer in it.
We get those every now and then, and we make a little house sour for it. Okay. But it's we make those. That's
a lot
there.
Of booze. Yeah,
right. That's just I'm not here to drink cocktails. I would just like to be hammered.
Right.
Love this story. A Florida couple ordered 4 plastic bins from Amazon. Just need some bins. Now, the box was surprisingly heavy, though, when it got to their doorstep. It turns out there was 65 pounds of weed in the bins. The couple then became afraid, fearing the rightful owner of the marijuana would break into their home to get their hands on the goods. Now, they reported it to Amazon and the police and everything, and for their troubles, the couple received a $150 Amazon gift card.
That seems like it could have been a little more.
The company plans on helping the investigation.
$150?
I mean, Amazon, you know, they're not growing money on trees over there. No, they're shipping it in giant plastic bins. Are you kidding? Have you seen Amazon stock lately?
Right now, Amazon is trying to figure out a way to have Amazon bars. I mean, there's now Amazon funeral homes. They're trying to think of the things you think right now Amazon can't.
Yeah, Amazon control. Radio station.
Amazon barbershop.
Yes, everything. 20 years ago this week, that whole Marv Albert biting thing was going on.
That was weird.
You can't bite. I feel like you learn that real early. Real early. And it never changes. There is never a point in your life where biting becomes okay again. It's never okay.
Noted.
What if she said, bite me?
They usually do.
You have to say no.
But I don't think regards to that.
Nobody really wants to get bitten.
Hey, hang on. What they usually do?
No, I'm just kidding. I have no experience with which to go on here.
You can't bite.
You can't bite.
You cannot bite.
You can't can't leave marks.
No.
Wear their underpants, which I think is what he was doing as well.
A tattoo. Bite mark. Yeah, teeth.
Tattoo.
Like a dental imprint on your skin. Nobody wants that. A clothing thief has turned himself into the West Des Moines police. It happened just yesterday. Timothy Shrum, 33 years old, was arrested and charged with theft in the third degree after security camera footage captured him stealing some clothes, according to a news release from the West Des Moines Police Department. They put this out over the TV stations, and everybody ran it. And this guy was just like, all right, you got me?
Where was it at?
Turned myself in. West Des Moines.
What store was it at?
I don't know. We're trying to give this guy a level of anonymity, so we're only giving his first and last name and his age.
And his address.
Right. Time Magazine's list of most popular Halloween candy by state says that here in Iowa, we are all about the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Interesting, because Influencer did a scientific polling survey, and Iowa's choice in this poll was Nerds. Like one of the few states that picked Nerds.
Really? Okay, well, that's a different poll.
Both of those choices will be in our number two's quickie poll.
Oh, a little foreshadowing. Man, Nerds are pretty good. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup,
it's fantastic.
That's a classic.
Great
giving
your dog opioids.
You can sneak some opioids in there for your dog.
Could you make a drink that tastes like a Reese's Peanut
Butter? All right, we got to close this thing out. Absolutely. Here. We got to hurry up. Morning Consult, a poll of things Americans say they're afraid of. Okay, about 2,000 people surveyed here. So the question is: are you afraid of blank? Yes or no? All right, 17% admit they're afraid of needles. I'm still afraid of needles.
I don't like them. 17%. I don't know when you say afraid. Like, I mean, do you get anxiety thinking about having a needle?
Don't make it so complicated. Are you afraid of needles?
No.
The answer is no. Are you afraid of dying?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, 19% say yes, they're afraid of dying. 24% are like Andrew, they're afraid of heights. Or as he would say, afraid of falling off the building.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of heights. I'm afraid of being,
falling off the building.
400 feet into the air and falling off.
Okay,
yeah. All right.
If it's a balcony, yes.
24% say they're afraid of heights. 32% admit they're afraid of climate change. 35% say the thought of biological warfare scares them. 37% say they are afraid of an economic collapse.
I'm starting to worry the things I'm afraid of have smaller numbers and are just more personal. These big world
spiders.
Event things, I should be more afraid of, and I'm basically not.
38% say they are afraid of family members dying. 38% say they're afraid of gun rights infringement. They must have been, who are they, surveying WHO radio listeners? 41% fear a terrorist attack, and 42%, more than any of these things I've already listed here, 42% say they are afraid of clowns.
I'm not afraid of clowns.
Not.
42% are afraid of clowns.
Terrorist attack.
My favorite Seinfeld joke was the one about where he does the gives the statistics for what people are afraid of, and number two was dying, and number one was public speaking. He said, "So it means you'd rather be the one in the casket than the one giving the eulogy."
That's a really good line.
That's your more
good memory. All right, Jason Garnett from Juniper Moon with the Todd Hottie. Or you can call it a hot toddy.
Call it whatever you want.
Yeah, call
just coming to get it.
It's just a good drink on today.
That is good. I'd like to go outside and drink this in the cold. I think I'm going to do that.
Rake the leaves.
Yeah.
Stand out on the parking lot with this nice glass.
Just stand in the parking lot, wait for Simon to pull up beside me for a smoke, and just enjoy my Todd Hottie.
Yell at kids that are parking in the parking lot.
You got a hot toddy. You got a hot toddy with your smoke.
Back with Throwdowns next.
Don't let me throw it down.
It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
Let's throw this down, Andy. Expectations shift as the season progresses. What should the expected number of wins be for Cyclones right now?
The expected number of wins is 7 wins. Expect. Okay? Hope for more than that. You expect after a start like this, you should be able to get 2 more wins with this schedule. I don't know where those wins would come from, but 2 more, that's safe, I feel like.
I'm going to agree, so I'll keep it short. I have the same number in my head, so I won't manufacture one. I think at this point you should expect 7 wins. You should expect to win 2 out of 5. More gravy, less. I think you should be disappointed based on what you've seen so far.
All right, Murph. Put it on the other foot. What's the expected number of wins for Hawkeyes?
Man, this... I'm going to stick with this. I think if you're a Hawkeye fan at this point, you should expect 2 more wins. So that gets you to 6. Mm-hmm. I think if you get to 7 from what you've seen at Northwestern and Michigan State, I think you should be pleased with that, given that this is kind of a rebuilding year. I think if you don't get to 6, you just pray you don't have to go to a bowl game as a 5-win team.
You have 2 very winnable games left on this, and a good chance at one more. Do you have enough faith in this team right now to pick right now that they go to Nebraska and win that last game? I don't think so, but I think you can absolutely feel safe in saying this team should. I expect them to beat Minnesota and Purdue.
Andy, it's cold today, but it'll get back into the 50s by Sunday. When is it officially cold weather season?
It's officially cold weather season when I get everything put away in the yard and the ground gets a little frozen and that fuzzy layer of frost on it, and it just gets all tamped down and it just kind of starts looking gray. When things aren't green anymore, when there's still a lot of leaves on the trees and green like it is right now, you are not going into the cold weather yet.
I'm sure that there's an official or better answer than this, but for me, it's officially cold weather season when I dread going out to the car at the end of my workday, and I know that I'm in for, you know, 5 minutes of shivering and discomfort, and that I really would like to order a heated steering wheel upgrade for those 5 minutes. Because it seems like such a luxury.
You don't even want to go home, is what you're saying? Just want to stay at work?
I just want to beam home. I don't want to go through.
We don't have that technology yet. That's not here yet.
Yeah,
I don't think you're going to live to see that.
I have remote start now. So this is
had that for a while.
Yeah, I know.
I've
never had it.
You just want remote.
No, I have
home
it.
Now. Just
remote home would be even better.
Push the button and it sends you home.
And then I'm in the chair.
That would be great.
That would be
Amazon
sweet.
Will be selling that within 5 years.
Remote home.
The poll is up on Twitter at @Murph_Andy. Who won throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy?
All right, we got the stupid quickie polls coming up. Betcha House, Week in Iowa, Unnecessary Censorship, and Trending Iowa, Hour 2.